Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today, the Feast of St. Peter Claver is really one of those very special days, along with, of course, our Blessed Mother. And he was a native in Spain. He joined the Jesuits in 1601 and was ordained in Cartagena, which is now Colombia. That is the chief slave market of South America. 10,000 African slaves arrived in the port every month. Peter was there to meet the ships. He entered holds filled with a smell of rotting flesh, bearing food and medicine, brandy and sweets. "We must speak to them," he said, "with our hands, before we try to speak to them with our lips." With the aid of interpreters and illustrations of Christ's life, Peter taught the brutalized slaves about the mercy of God. In 33 years, he instructed and baptized over 300,000 slaves. He died in 1654. He lived a long life for what he endured and for what he did for others. Slaves were, he spoke to them, they had been brutalized. He spoke to them. He taught them. He led them. And think of that, what I just read to you. He baptized and instructed over 300,000 slaves. Think about that. How much do you preach the gospel? How much do I preach the gospel? Just in our ordinary lives, with our children, our families. I don't mean that we get up on a pedestal of some kind and preach, but if you live by God's word, your life speaks it. And people will ask you, why do you believe this? Why do you believe that? Tell them very simply, I don't believe it because I can bring you proof right here and now. I believe it because of the gift of faith. Open your hearts to the Lord. He has much, much more to give us. The opening prayer for today says this: "Come, you blessed of my Father," says the Lord. "I was sick, and you visited me. Amen, I say to you, whatever you did for one of the least of my brethren, you did it for me." Think of that, the hundreds of thousands that he served. He was serving his Savior, Christ, living in all those souls, in the worst of conditions. My goodness, brothers and sisters, that's faith. And what we need to do, I think, is to look around right in our own area, our own neighborhood. If you grew up in a small town like I did, you can reach more people in the town. Ask the Lord, what can I do to bring them closer to Christ? How could I help serve? So start out with prayer daily. Then ask your pastor, what could I do for those around me to bring them closer to Christ? Learn from this example. Even if your contribution has to be small because of other responsibilities, still look at it. What could I do to bring the gospel more fully to the poor and the sick and the ignored, the ones who are left alone? What could I do? Ask God that. What could I do? And we look at the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 7, verses 25 to 31. "Brothers and sisters, in regard to virgins, I have no commandment from the Lord, but I give you my opinion as one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. So this is what I think best because of the present distress, that it is a good thing for a person to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek a separation. Are you free of a wife? Then do not look for a wife. If you marry, however, you do not sin, nor does an unmarried woman sin if she marries. But such people will experience affliction in their earthly life, and I would like to spare you that. I tell you, brothers, the time is running out. From now on, let those having wives act as not having them. Those weeping as not weeping. Those rejoicing as not rejoicing. Those buying as not owning. Those using the world as not using it fully. For the world in its present form is passing away. One of the things he's trying to say here is not divorce your wives or anything like that, but care for them so that you both can draw closer to Christ. You both can become more like him. Oh, brothers and sisters, time is running out, he wrote. And he wrote that along Paul's letter to the Corinthians was written a long, long time ago. Time is running out. He doesn't mean to divorce or anything like that. Just don't make that the utter center of your life. Love them with all your heart. They're first in your life, but the first person to love is Jesus. That's what enables you to love, truly love, sincerely love one another. Let's take a look at Psalm 45. Listen to me, daughters. See and bend your ear. Hear, O daughter, and see, bend your ear. Forget your people and your father's house. So shall the king desire your beauty, for he is your Lord, and you must worship him. Oh, glorious is the king's daughter as she enters. Her raiment is threaded with spun gold. In embroidered apparel she is brought to the king. Behind her the virgins of her train are brought to you. They are borne in with gladness and joy. They enter the palace of the king. The place of your fathers your sons shall have. You shall make them princes through all the land. Love your wives. Love your husbands. That's paramount in this life. But over and above that, Jesus Christ is first. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are first. Love them. Christ is first. Your loved one, the one you're espoused to, is in second place. But that doesn't bring it down low. That's very high in God's eyes. Listen to him carefully. The Gospel from Luke chapter 6, verses 20 to 26. Raising his eyes toward his disciples, Jesus said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. Blessed are you who are now hungry, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who are now weeping, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude and insult you, and denounce your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice and leap for joy on that day. Behold, your reward will be great in heaven. If we're mocked or ridiculed for being truly Catholic, for being truly Christian, don't worry. So is Jesus. Follow him. Rejoice and leap for joy on that day. Behold, your reward will be great in heaven. For their ancestors treated the prophets in the same way. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. But woe to you who are filled now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will grieve and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for their ancestors treated the false prophets in this way." Brothers and sisters, don't pat yourself on the back. Don't say how wonderful I am and look for others' adulation and gratitude. Don't, if you receive it, blessed be God. But that's not where our focus is. Our focus is on serving the Lord. If people are blessed by what we do, thank God. You thank God. Never take it just to yourself. If you've been gifted, use your gifts and then hand them over to God and thank him for what he gave you. It all returns to him, brothers and sisters. I beg you. Live your life with great love in your heart. I want to read something to you as we close this program from Father Chizik, Walter Chizik. He was a Jesuit. He was convicted of being a Vatican spy in World War II, and he spent 23 years in Soviet prisons. Listen to this. Many people, from newsmen to housewives, ask me over and over again how I managed to survive the years in Soviet prisons and the labor camps of Siberia. My answer has always been, and can only be, that I survived on the basis of faith. To those who feel disappointed, who find it hard to accept so simple an explanation, who had perhaps hoped to hear from me some secret and mysterious formula that would help change their lives or strengthen their faith, and cannot accept what I have written, I can only express my regrets and my sympathy. All I can do is to state as plainly and as honestly I know how the simple truths I myself learned only by trial and error, truths that I came only gradually to appreciate even in my own life after much anguish of soul and a great deal of prayerful reflection, truths that sustained me finally through the long years of doubt and darkness of hardship and suffering. It is my hope, indeed my prayer, that what I have learned and come to understand so slowly and painfully might be of service to others. For all my apologies, therefore, I am not ashamed of what I have written here, simple as some may find it. The terrible thing about all divine truth, indeed, is its simplicity. Whether it be the secrets of the physical universe he has created, like Einstein, or the Ten Commandments, or the Beatitudes, or the truth we learned in the Catechism, all can be simply stated. And yet, how curious it is that this very simplicity makes them so unacceptable to the wise and the proud and the sophisticated of this world. It is the simple things of this world, says St. Paul, that God has chosen to confound the wise. Man was created to praise, reverence, and serve God in this world and to be happy with him forever in the next. It's the first truth of the faith, and those who have faith accept it. I do not apologize for my faith, nor am I ashamed of it. Think of that, brothers and sisters. He came back to the United States in the 1960s. He came back to the United States when he was finally freed and he was brought home. But brothers and sisters, he died in 1984. So he's, in a sense, present. He's present now in our life. We've lived, many of us, in part of his lifetime. And he was able to endure, I don't know how, only by God. He was convicted of being a Vatican spy, and he was nothing. He was just trying to bring the gospel to people, the truth to people. Brothers and sisters, may God abundantly bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.